A week solidarity Brekkie team listener, when we finally have a date for those who don't want Trueblue Aussie to be divided by race to vote no to recognising the Terra Nullius non-land non-people as a race. The two Terra Nullius non-land non-people leading the no campaign telling us that recognising them would divide us on race, cause Jacinta, Warren, like, there's no history of racial divide, war, slaughter in Trueblue Aussie these past 235 years. The Lord Rupert of Wapping Usual Suspect columnist Bolt Through the Head and other Lord Rupert acolytes agree. Interesting how they use race to argue they're not racists. We can understand Terra Nullius non-land non-people who argue the voice proposal is inadequate, doesn't go far enough, but that's a different story. We could have had a bipartisan support if only the socialists had given poor, caring business class Supremo and would-be big Supremo Constable Peter Duffer the detail he so desired, sought with such sincerity. Detail, detail, detail. No thought of obfuscation. And now poor Peter's uncovered yet another barrier to a fair vote. The voting system itself. It's loaded against his side. Obviously, those who developed the voting system 100-and-whatever years ago foresaw this referendum and created a system designed to thwart Pete, add to the political confusion which Pete uncovered. If you don't know, vote no. Like you know, he sloganizes. Not much of an argument, because in Pete's case, don't know covers just about everything. He probably knows his own name, probably. Because Pete certainly lacks a fair bit, well, to be fair, heaps, in the intellect department, which probably explains why he says no to everything, because if you don't know, say no, like you know, when in fact, of course, you don't know, like. Like, Pete went out of his way to prove the point by accusing those opposing nuclear power as political dinosaurs putting the country on a path to lights out, like you know, kind of half correct, because the nuclear power he so desires would certainly see us all go the way of the dinosaurs. Reported last week how the most evil of evil unions, Construction and Maritime, called for evil union representation on the Reserve Losses Bank Board, prompting caring business class shadow economic guru Angus Tailings to come up with a stunning fact of which we had absolutely no idea. That the most evil of evil unions paid big economic guru Jim Chalmers capital and big Supremo Anthony Albanese salaries when we thought they were paid by the public purse. This will be a test for Jim Chalmers capital and Anthony Albanese's leadership. Will they bend to the pressure of their union paymasters or do the right thing and preserve the independence of our key economic institutions? You'll recall he shared his wisdom and concern for the delicate flower that is the economy. We shared his awareness that unlike ignorant, single-minded workers, only caring employers and the filthy rich can bring independence to these matters. Think for both caring employers and their lazy, avaricious workforces. Of course, former big Supremo nuclear hawk himself appointed former ACTU secretary Little Billy Kiltham to the board, as Gough Whitlam had previously appointed nuclear hawk when Nuke was ACTU president, but Angus and caring employers this time fear the socialists might appoint someone who is a threat to the caring employers and therefore all of us. Whereas Hawke's main contribution to the interests of the workers whom he represented was to call for a wage freeze, kind of like what we've got now, but unofficially. Let the public purse pick up wage increases through trickling a few benefits to workers, workers subsidising their own tiny wage increases through the taxes they can't avoid, while their caring employers are subsidised for the wage increases they do avoid from the taxes they also avoid. Win-win. Oh yes, that nuclear hawk was a giant of the labour movement. Unfortunately, the unofficial wage freeze these past several years has not been freeze enough to prevent serious problems for caring employers like big Trueblue Aussie BHP, bloody huge profits, bloody huge polluter, offshoot, South 30 never too much profit, which joined a chorus of caring employers pointing out proposed caring business class relations laws would make life just impossible, crush productivity, and in South 30, never too much profits case, exacerbates an already impossible situation with worker greed, with wages. As Supremo Graham Kurzweg has stressed, labour costs, that is wages, and all those crippling work practices are much more pronounced in True Blue Aussie than in other jurisdictions where we operate. Industrial relations reforms would set back productivity, that eternal barrier to the caring employer's desire to solve the problems of slow wage growth. Rising labour costs are the biggest headache in True Blue Aussie. It is cheaper to operate in the USR, where we're developing a base metals project, than in True Blue Aussie, and labour cost pressures are also less of an issue in South America and Southern Africa. And we all know how companies like South 30 Never Too Much treat their workers and the environment in those places, showing in even greater magnitude the greed of True Blue Aussie workers. And given Graham's clear rapport and concern about working people, it's difficult to comprehend how workers at its Appin mine in New South Wales have been on strike for 3 weeks. Why would they be upset with Graham and the boardroom team, who know lots more about the industry than they do? Ingrate workers. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Caring employers would be better off without them. Graham and the board, get rid of this impediment to profits and head down to the mine and do the work yourselves. That'd show workers and evil unions they're unnecessary for the delicate flower of the economy to do its thing. They're only employed because caring employers see providing jobs as their raison d'etre through the sheer goodness of their big, generous hearts. Like the big generous heart of our old mate Industry Profits Group Supremo Innes Will Cost the workers, who warned us that if caring employers were forced to treat gig workers as, wait for it, as workers, we would lose thousands of jobs, presumably because they'd have to be paid and crucify their employers with those crippling work practices like time off, holidays for God's sake, sick leave, superannuation, penalty rates. Oh, it's endless. And we can but imagine how these threats must tug at Innes's warm, caring heart. Not sure where he dragged the thousands of workers from, but Innes knows what he's talking about, so we'll take his word for it. He did say workers would be double-dipping, and caring employers said the legislation would set True Blue Aussie back decades and would hurt consumers. While the Minister for Caring Business Class Relations conceded the new rules would cost caring employers more, because obviously it would cost more if they had to pay their workers, or sorry, contractors, and top marks to the commercial telly news the other night, picking up the caring employers' concern for consumers, for all of us, well, except the workers involved, angling its story, delivered meals will cost us more under new legislation planned by the government. Uncaring delivery contractors, not workers, showing no concern for the very customers who keep them contracted. The telly news clearly thought these workers, contractors, are already well enough off. And if, like so many other True Blue Aussies, they rent, then sure, they can enjoy the news this week that inflation had dropped a little bit, a smidge. Although it turned out there had been huge increases in a few areas, like rents and electricity. So renters turning on the lights or keeping themselves warm or cooking a meal must be over the moon at the lower inflation they're enjoying and can keep on enjoying before they land in the gutter. Trying to avoid landing in the gutter are esteemed banks asking to be, quote, carved out of mooted legislation to regulate artificial intelligence. As an aside, if AI meant an intelligence implant, Constable Duffer would be head of queue. Carved out because bank spokesperson and former socialist state supremo Anna Blight on workers explained the government must consider whether the legislation needs to apply to specific highly regulated sectors such as the banking sector. Poor highly regulated banks, and we know just how much they're struggling. On which we pointed out the airline which used to be our airline was privatised by the socialists because they told us the public sector could not compete with the super-efficient private sector airlines. Yet, Since then, economics have obviously reversed 100%, because every time the private airline, which used to be, faces competition, we're told it must be protected because the private airline, which used to be, can't compete with state-owned airlines, which have a huge advantage. Opposing the very competition the private sector tells us helps us all will help the private shareholders, and top marks to the government for bending over backwards to ensure those shareholders reap fortunes while their customers cop it in the neck, including the airline which used to be pocketing airfares for flights they cancelled ages ago, learning from the banks and financial institutions which specialised in charging fees for no service. And by taking money for flights that don't exist, the airline the government said it couldn't afford could theoretically demand less corporate welfare, the trillions it extracts from the public purse, but only theoretical, because the primo Alan Joystick is always seen with his hand out. Incredibly, the poor airline which used to be is being charged for doing what business does best, charge for no service. Perhaps someone should remind the government, as it offers reason number 133 for why it banned competition to the airline which used to be, that we don't own it anymore, that we don't have to keep paying for it. And finally, as AMP for All Members Pissed Off, Chief Economist Shane I Love to Give Advice is regularly employed by the media to advise us as a financial expert, a couple of the super-efficient private super funds like AMP have been ordered by the regulator to tell their customers they'd be better off in a fund which actually made money for them, as the private rental funds failed the so-called performance test. What? Those funds run by evil unions and workers outperforming the brilliant private sector? How could that be, listener? Good morning.